I spent all summer perfecting it. My grandma was a grocery clerk, and she pulled a lot of double shifts. So after she'd leave for work, I would go in the kitchen and bake. It kept me out of trouble. Luke had a hard time imagining a young Kennedy getting into trouble. She might have spunk, but she was also a pleaser by nature. She liked rules because they made her feel safe, gave her boundaries so she wouldn't get hurt. "Does each pie here have a story?" he asked. "Not all of them, but most. The ones that don't are just waiting for theirs."
"That's a lot of pies," he said.
"I had a lot of free time growing up." Luke didn't know a lot about raising kids, but it sounded like Kennedy had had a lonely childhood. She never talked about friends or family, outside of her grandmother, and rarely brought up home. And as far as he knew, no one had come to visit or help her move. He wanted to ask where her family was, but could tell that wouldn't be a fun topic for her. And tonight, he wanted her to have fun. She was excited about her new line of mixed fruit pies, excited about her idea to tempt locals to expand their taste buds. Luke picked up another pie, one from the back of the counter.
"Tell me about this one."
"I can't without telling you what's in it, and it's against the
rules." "Got it."
He took another pie, the apple and mango.
"How about this one? I already know what's in it."
"That one reminds me of the time my grandma and I were in Atlanta," she began, and he could see the warmth of the memory wash over her, feel the connection fill the space between them, and shift into something much more intimate, vulnerable. "It was July, so it was hot and muggy. We passed this fancy French patisserie. I'd never seen a pastry shop with starched tablecloths and wine glasses before. My grandma knew that I loved desserts and suggested we go inside and get something to cool off." She broke off and cleared her throat. "Even though I was only 8, I knew we were poor. But my grandma took me inside and told me to pick anything I wanted. We shared a butterscotch and apple crepe with mango ice on top. She said it was the most memorable thing she'd ever tasted."
"And that inspired this pie?"
he asked. She nodded. Letting go of all his expectations and preconceived ideas about the odd pairing, Luke took another bite, this time letting it melt on his tongue. After he got past the initial intense explosion of flavor, it mellowed out to a smooth sweetness with a fresh hint of citrus at the end. He decided it wasn't so weird after all, just unexpected, kind of like its creator, an unexpected bite of sweet freshness.
"And this one started it all?"
he asked, pulling the root vegetable pie closer.
"Which probably makes it high on your list of hopefuls."
"It's the top of my list." Her eyes went bright, and she nibbled her lip. She wasn't just excited for him to try it. She was nervous about his reaction, as if he had the power to hurt her, a position he'd never wanted to be in. "It's my favorite."
"If it's your favorite, then why do you care what I think?"
Averting her face, she concentrated on straightening the pie so that the designs she'd cut out of the top were lined up with the fork. "I know what I like, but I'm not all that great at figuring out what everyone else likes," she said, with a pain so raw he felt it in his chest. "I don't want to put it out there with high hopes, only to fall short of reaching expectations." This was about more than pies and pleasing customers. He could see it in her posture, in the way she was fidgeting with the silverware. Part of the problem with letting people in was giving them the tools to hurt you. And Kennedy had been hurt, maybe by her ex, maybe by her parents. But she'd had more than her fair share of letdowns. It was why she worked so hard not to disappoint others. Problem was, by pleasing others, she opened herself up to disappointment.
"Whoever told you that you fell short was wrong."
Kennedy slowly lifted her gaze, her lashes fluttering up last, showing him an expression that wasn't defiant, but uncertain.
"How do you know?" Didn't that break his heart?
She didn't understand what he could have seen in her that others had easily dismissed. Even more,
He could see that she needed to believe he saw something more, which she did. And anyone who couldn't see what an amazing woman she was didn't deserve her trust.
You don't either, he told himself. My mom always said nothing that comes from the heart can ever fall short.
Luke gently ran the pad of his finger over her cheek.
And you, sweetness, are all heart.
Sometimes my heart feels so big with everyone else, there isn't room left for me, she admitted, sharing a part of herself with him that didn't come lightly.
You're a nurturer. You have this amazing capacity to care for others and for what you do. It's why you love baking. It's your way of acknowledging their value, making their day a little brighter.
She looked as touched by the compliment as she did uncomfortable. Do you know why I invited you here tonight?
To make me eat weird root vegetables?
She laughed, and it was a sweet sound. No, I wanted to say thank you. Not just for bringing me the apples, but for making my day brighter. You made me feel special on a day that was tiring and frustrating. Your thoughtfulness allowed for a reprieve, gave me enough pause to see the possibilities and solidify things. With a soft smile, she stepped off the stool in between his legs and gave him a kiss on the cheek. You are one of the good ones, Luke. He wasn't sure how he felt about the last half, but he wasn't complaining, seeing how good she felt pressed against his thighs.
Sounds like you packed a lot into 8 hours.
I've packed a lot into my whole life. She looked at the pies on the counter, as if checking off each memory, then to the one he'd rejected. And today, I decided I was tired of packing. I want to enjoy, make my life special, and go after what I want. To wake up every day and feel how I felt when I saw the bushels of apples, which, by the way, did I say thank you?
You did. 3 times.
Didn't stop her from going in for a fourth, which consisted of a sweet brush of the lips that was meant to soothe. Luke closed his eyes at the rush of emotions that complicated something they needed to keep simple. Only the more time he spent with her, the more he respected her, and the more he wanted her. She had a big heart, and an even bigger capacity to nurture, and being on the receiving end of that kind of intense warmth was addicting. Made him crave things he couldn't have, do things he shouldn't do, like slip his hands around her waist and draw her near. Rub his thumb over the soft curve of her hip and under her sweater to the even softer skin beneath until her eyes heated with pleasure. Only she'd invited him here to explore her new menu, not the Kama Sutra. Otherwise, she would have answered that door in fuck me pumps and a let's get cooking apron instead of that skirt, a fuzzy sweater, and her dreams on her sleeve. No matter how careful they were destined to burn hot and crash hard. While Luke was a giver by nature, with her, he feared he'd do nothing but take, and Kennedy had lost enough in her life.
Do you know why I came here?
He asked. Free pie? He smiled.
That, and to apologize for putting you in an impossible situation. I knew you needed the apples. I was pissed that you changed the locks.
I get it. She shrugged. I locked you out of the cottage and stole your men. One smile and those men abandoned their post, almost costing him an embarrassing conversation with one of his largest clients. But tonight wasn't about tallying points. He'd come to prove that he was the kind of guy who followed through on his commitments, the kind of man his father would have been proud of.
Yes, but I could have found a better solution than sending you up a tree alone, he admitted.
I wasn't alone. Not yesterday and not today. And it was nice. Very gently, she placed her hands flat against his chest, and he was sure she could feel his heart pounding with need. Beneath that MBA starch, you're nice too. Luke put his hand over hers.
Sweetness, I think you're mistaking a good day for a good decision.
No more mistakes. I'm reinventing.
He wasn't sure if she meant her menu or herself. Either way, that didn't settle right.
I would hate to see you reinvent something that's already perfect.
You can't say something is perfect if you haven't tried it, she said, as if she were back to talking about the pie, but he knew better.
Every once in a while, you come across something so memorable, you only need one taste to know.
And he already knew that, with her, one taste would never be enough. And no way in hell did he deserve another, but that didn't stop him from wanting it. From wanting her. Not when she was looking at him like she wanted it too. Like he was the answer to all her problems. The guy who could take her day from ho-hum to Christmas fucking morning in one brush of the lips. Funny, I've always been a second helping kind of girl, she said. And before he could point out that he liked a healthy appetite in his women, she pulled his mouth to hers, proving he also found decisiveness an admirable quality. In fact, there was a lot about her to admire. Her mouth, for one, full and soft, sliding over his lips as if he were the tasting, and she was savoring each second. Seconds that turned to minutes, taking it from gentle welcoming brushes to come and get me nips that blew his mind, which brought him to her directness, a quality that, until this very moment, he'd vastly underestimated. Kennedy didn't play coy like other women. She was exacting and a world-class communicator. When his hands slid south, over his hips and lower, she moaned, groaned really, in that breathy way that told him under no circumstances was he to stop. And Luke knew better than to deny a lady, especially when she made it clear by the way she was climbing up his body that she would like to use his lap as a seat, an order he could get behind. And he did, lifting her until she was straddling him and bringing his attention to her choice in attire. It was so admirable, it had him retracting his earlier statement about the impartial nature of her skirt. Because all it took was a little shimmy on her part, not that he wasn't contributing to the cause, and suddenly her skirt was inching around her waist and his hands were on her ass. A place he'd spent every waking moment dreaming they could be, only to realize that her imagination was far superior to his. Betty Crocker didn't wear matching lace panties, or even a black thong. His pie girl was a purist, skipping all the topping and going au naturel.
I thought you invited me here to say thank you, he said,
knowing that even though this was the best fucking thank you he'd ever receive, he couldn't do it.
I did.
She pulled back. Her eyes were heated and her lips wet. But I also invited you here because I want to know what it's like to be with a good guy.
Kennedy, I'm not
the right good guy for me. I know. She rocked her hips in this sexy little move that caused her to press against his erection, and his eyes rolled to the back of his head. But you make me feel good, and this feels too right to stop. You get to me, she said. And she didn't even sound mad about admitting that he was right. Even better, you get me. He cupped her cheek gently, loving how soft she felt under his touch, how perfectly she fit in his arms.
Which is why this could get complicated.
It doesn't have to be. Not tonight. He sure as hell hoped she was right, because she reached down and tugged at the hem of that sweater, and it went up, up, and off, falling to the floor and leaving her in nothing but a black bra. Tonight is just a tasting, she said. And since Luke was taught that it was always ladies first, he forked off a piece of her favorite pie and held it out to her lips.
Well, then I guess we should start with your favorite.
Instead of taking the fork, she gave a wicked little smile that nearly knocked him off the chair and ran her lips across the pie, coating the lower one with just enough filling to make it shine. You'll love it, I promise. Luke figured, what the hell? If apple and freaky red vegetable pie was ever going to rock his world, it would be licking it off the hottest lips in town. Suddenly, all for new experiences, he leaned in for a taste, then a little nibble, and holy shit, it's incredible. She blushed a pretty shade of pink. It's not a gold tin winner, but I think it's pretty good.
It's perfect, he said honestly, and went in for another taste.
Wait, she whispered, leaning back to grab her phone off the counter. One minute she was straddling him, the next she was aiming her phone at them as if to take a selfie.
What are you doing?
Capturing a moment, she explained. Every recipe in my life's icing cookbook has a picture to remind me of the perfect moment to help me remember. He smiled.
And you want to remember me kissing you in your kitchen?
No. She pressed her lips against his. I want to remember the moment you went back for seconds when a vegetable was present. He heard the faint click of the camera, tasted the tart filling on her lips, and knew he wouldn't need a picture to remember this. The image of her straddling him in nothing but filling and lace would forever be tattooed behind his eyelids. Because it was perfect. The kiss, the pie, the way Kennedy was making these little sighs, letting him know that, yeah, she was feeling it too. It was like a sweet treat and a wet dream all wrapped up in one addictive, hot experience. Second helping? He went in for a third and a fourth, and by the fifth nip, he was a goner. So gone, he didn't care if this blew up in his face. He wanted Kennedy, and he wanted her for more than a night. Most important, he wanted her naked on his lap. Trying a little nonverbal communication of his own, he slid his palms up to cup her breasts, rubbing his thumbs over the puckered tips, then beneath the lacy cups. In a move that was all kinds of awesome, he dipped the fabric down, her breasts spilling right out over the top. With a growl, he bent to appreciate them, taste them, listening for what she liked and what she loved, running his tongue across her nipples and not stopping until she was arching against him and releasing these sexy little sighs. And that's when things got interesting, because Kennedy was as much a team player as she was a master with her hands. Reaching under his t-shirt, she skimmed her hands up his chest, touching every inch until she tugged it over his head and tossed it to the floor. With a wicked little smile, she trailed her nails down his stomach, the muscles bunching in anticipation as she went over the waistband of his pants and lower. Running along the line of his zipper with enough finesse to have him bucking into her hand.
Jesus, Kennedy,
he gasped, resting his forehead against hers. She held him there, delivering gentle kisses, nothing more than a whisper, while making short work of his belt and zipper. By the time he bucked again, which was about a second later, those fingers he loved so much were around the length of him, cool and sure, gently stroking and caressing him from base to tip and back down, taking him right out of his head and his world, crash landing into hers. A week ago, this would have been mind-blowing foreplay, but after sharing stories, exposing parts they both normally kept hidden, this felt like more. One stroke from losing it, Luke took her hands and placed them around his neck, pulling her until there wasn't enough space between them to breathe. Then he slid his palms down her back to her ass, lifting her just enough that when he set her back down, it created a friction that had her head tilting back in pleasure.
Tighten your leg, sweetness,
he said, lifting her again, and when she did as told, he slid her back down faster, barely letting her rest before she was on the move back up.
Please, Luke, I want you now, she begged.
Grabbing a condom out of his back pocket and pushing his jeans down to his hips, he was covered and ready, lifting her up and ready to slide home when he paused.
Say it again.
She bent forward, until her hair spilled over her shoulder and her breasts brushed his chest. Then she gave him the sexiest smile he'd ever seen.
I want you, Luke.
He wanted her too, but he wanted something else first.
The other part, sweetness. I want to hear the other part.
Her face held the cutest expression of confusion. Please?
Such manners,
he whispered, and then gave them what they both wanted, until all there was to do was enjoy the sensation of finally connecting. They both sighed, and he could actually hear her heart thumping wildly and matching his own.
Are you calling me a good girl, Luke?
She asked against his lips.
Because right now, I feel the best kind of bad.
Snagging his mouth with hers, she kissed him deep and long, making it one of those all-night kind of events that made breathing impossible. Good thing he didn't need air, not as much as he needed to feel her move. Taking her hips, he started a slow rhythm, letting her find her balance on his lap until they were both moving as one. As he pushed up, she pressed down, meeting him thrust for thrust, creating enough friction that he could feel her body tighten and coil around him. Watching her take pleasure was driving him crazy, but the way she was curling her hips was quickly driving him over the edge. He tightened his grip, trying to slow down before it was over way too soon, but either his communication skills were lacking or she was done listening. He'd put good money on the latter, since every time she'd rise up, she'd get those perfect tens just out of sucking range before sliding back down with a smile. Shop girl was teasing him. So the next time she rose, Luke grabbed her waist, holding her there, then pulled her into his mouth, sucking until she was quivering against him. And when she was right there, on the brink of exploding, he reared up and slid all the way to the hilt. Oh, God, she screamed out. Her body began to tremble with the beginnings of an orgasm, but Luke didn't let up. He slid his hand between them, finding that sweet spot and applying enough pressure that her breathing became choppy and her eyes slid shut in pleasure.
Look at me,
he said.
I want to watch you as you come apart in my hands.
Her lashes lifted, and the second his gaze locked on hers, she felt her body shake and then break loose and fly. With that pretty word, please, on her lips, followed by his name. And that was enough to break what little control he'd managed to hold on to, and Luke followed her over the edge and into a world he wasn't sure he'd want to leave come morning. A world that was as simple as it was complicated.
That's about the sexiest thing I've ever seen, Kennedy said, sliding onto a stool at the counter, sighing at the delicious soreness.
The early morning sun peered through the blinds, warming the tiles beneath her feet, while the view in front of her was hot enough to melt the polar ice caps. Luke stood at the sink in nothing but bedhead, scruff, and yesterday's jeans, which were zipped but not buttoned, and ready to give at the simplest tug. The man knew how to pull off the morning after with as much swagger as the night before. He glanced over his shoulder and delivered a dimple that had her good part sighing.
And you haven't seen my best side, sweetness.
She'd seen all of his sides last night and couldn't say which was her favorite, although looking at his backside ranked pretty high, right between his funny side and his sweet side. I was actually talking about a man doing dishes in my kitchen.
Then get ready to swoon, because breakfast is almost ready.
Which explained the skillets on the stove and the heavenly aroma in the kitchen. Kennedy rested her elbows on the counter and leaned forward.
You cook, you clean, and make house calls? Be still my heart. I aim to please.
He dried off his hands and brought two steaming mugs of coffee to the counter.
Which is why I was trying to be quiet, so you could get another few minutes of sleep before I surprised you in bed.
He grinned. It was a wicked grin.
Again?
Luke had done more than surprise her last night. He'd spoiled her for other men. Sure, he was an incredible lover, but it was the tender moments in between that made her nervous. This thing between them couldn't last. She knew that. She also understood that if he was looking for something more permanent, she wouldn't be the kind of woman to inspire that kind of commitment. She was unable to do it with her perfect match, or even her own mother. The one person who was supposed to love her unconditionally, which left Kennedy painfully afraid that she was missing that elusive quality that led to forever. Finding out that she was right, that she was unlovable, from a man who obviously had an incredible capacity to love, as she'd seen with his friends and family, would be too painful to survive. So she took the moment for what it was, committing to memory the warm aroma of the coffee, the way the sun cast a glassy haze over the kitchen, and the sleepy expression on his face that made him look softer, more relaxed, like this was where he was supposed to be, in this kitchen, with her. Kennedy was becoming more attached. She could feel it. The way he treated her, the way he made her feel, even the way he looked at her, like right now, as if she were special, which made her feel special. She didn't know how to slow down what was happening between them. Being with him last night, sharing stories about her childhood, waking up to him in her space, it all felt so good.
I hope you like peppers,
he said, sliding a fluffy omelet out of the skillet and onto a plate. Grabbing two forks, he set the breakfast between them, the heavenly scent making her stomach grumble. Her mouth was watering too, but that had more to do with the wide shoulders and rippling abs on display. You do know peppers are a vegetable, right? He took a bite and washed it down with coffee.
You've been talking to my mom.
A little, she paused. A lot, actually. I really like your mom.
She's nosy, doesn't understand limits, and drives me crazy. But she's always there, cheering me on no matter what. And there were a lot of no matter whats when I was growing up. So now it's my turn to be there for her. Make sure she's happy and taken care of.
He chuckled.
Not that she makes it easy.
He studied her for a moment.
How are things going at the shop?
Kennedy was caught off guard by the question, flustered to the point that she wasn't sure how to respond. They'd both purposefully kept the conversation away from business, because that seemed to be their trigger. But maybe after last night, it didn't have to be.
Is mom still lifting trays and working long hours?
He asked. Oh, Kennedy said, feeling equal parts relief and disappointment. His concern was for Paula. I told her no more lifting the trays. And after about an hour in the kitchen, I send her out to run the front of the shop, which usually turns into her sitting down and gossiping with one of the customers.
Thank you. She would have kept pushing and...
Luke gave a long, tired sigh.
I worry about her and my aunt. A lot. I hate the thought of the two of them in that big house alone.
Kennedy wanted to point out that he needn't waste his concern. Those women could not only keep that big farmhouse running, but run the entire country if they put their minds to it.
If she pushes too hard, she has a flare-up and...
He shook his head.
She hates it when she's stuck in the house, and I hate it when she's in pain and there's nothing I can do to help.
There was a protective quality to his tone that made Kennedy gush. Wonder what it would be like to have someone in her life who cared for her with the same fierce devotion. Kennedy looked at the thoughtful breakfast, then at the beautiful man who'd made her last 2 days magical, and a little tingle raced down her spine.
The mornings will get colder and colder,
he said, mistaking her shivers for a chill.
Nothing but my shirt isn't the warmest choice.
You weren't complaining last night, she teased. His eyes went hot, running the length of her. Stepping around the counter, he came up behind her, running his hands down her arms, warming them as he went. His front pressed into her back as he leaned over to whisper,
I'm not complaining now. I just don't like seeing you cold.
Cold? Kennedy was on fire. a result of being wrapped in a warm cocoon of sexy, yummy man.
Thank you for breakfast.
Kennedy turned her head to give him a languid, gentle kiss on the lips.
This is sweet.
Thanks for dessert.
Luke kissed her back, and when he was done, Kennedy was breathing heavily and sitting on his lap, her feet dangling off the side.
It was hot.
One arm was around her, pulling her against him, the other resting on her thigh, his fingers gently massaging the muscles and melting her bones. He couldn't seem to stop touching her, which was fine, since she was doing a little touching of her own.
Tomorrow night, Hawk and I are having a little get-together at the bar to celebrate our new hard cider, Luke said. Come with me.
The heater must have kicked on, because suddenly it was so warm in the kitchen it was hard to think. Hard to process what he was saying versus what he meant, and she felt like she was suffocating. This wasn't just a simple get-together at his bar. Word around town was this was an invite-only VIP party for vendors, distributors, and select guests. It was a cocktail kind of event that would probably make a few local papers, and maybe some bigger ones. It wasn't the fanfare that had panic curling around her neck. It was that Luke had asked her to go with him. On a date. In public. To celebrate the release of a line he might not be able to continue when she signed the contract with Cosmo. She wasn't sure how he'd react when he found out, but the uncertainty was worrisome enough that she didn't tell him about the deal when she could have. But Kennedy was still reeling from last night, trying to figure out what they were in private, who they were without the complication of business, and who she was on her own. "You don't have to make this more than what it is," she said, studying how small her hands looked against his chest. Luke's hand covered hers.
"It's just a date."
She looked up. "Is it?" His gaze said it was more, and she took comfort in that. It was scary to be in this, whatever this was, but terrifying to think she was in it alone.
"I'm not going to lie," he said quietly. "Tomorrow night is a big deal for Two Bad Apples, and for me. My dad and I talked about this day for what seems like ever. Hawk has gone all out, and we put a lot into this launch, so it will be packed. You can meet a bunch of locals. Drinks are on the house," and he cupped her cheek. "I'd like for you to be there."
This side was her favorite, she decided. That genuine, vulnerable part that he kept hidden. She'd seen a glimpse of it when he was with his family, and even then she felt drawn in. Having him open up to her like that was too tempting to resist. Kennedy had shared a part of herself with him last night, and now he was offering her a chance to experience an important part of his life. "Sundays are my busiest day, so I have extra prep on Saturday night," she said. "I might be late." Luke kissed her neck.
"I'll be the sexy one with the great ass waiting behind the bar."
Chapter 13. Luke watched as people mingled and chatted about Two Bad Apples Hard Cider. There was enough buzz to know that they had a hit on their hands. From the way Rogers kept grinning and hanging on Hawk's every word, Luke knew that even though the night was only getting started, this was their deal to lose.
"Help me out, Jason," Luke said,
turning his attention back to the booth and his guest.
"I know you don't want to deal with the harvest, so tell me what you need to say yes."
When Jason Stark had emailed saying he had news, Luke had invited him to the party, certain that he'd sold Jason on the proposal. The guy had left their meeting relieved by the possibility of someone else taking the apples off his hands. Only now that he was here, 10 feet from Rogers, delivering the worst news possible, Luke regretted that decision. He'd been riding the high of a good meeting and an even better night before, and he'd gotten cocky, allowed himself to get distracted.
"That's just it," Jason said. "I did say yes, and so did my sisters, but my older brother, Walter, thinks it's a bad move, and since he took a business class back in junior college, he thinks he's fucking Warren Buffett."
Jason sat back and took a swallow of cider.
You're each an equal owner, right?
Luke asked, trying to ascertain the situation the best he could in hopes of finding a creative solution that appealed to everyone.
What if I buy a few acres of Yarlington Mill and Kingston Blacks from your quarter of the harvest?
If I owned a quarter of the apples, I would do it just so I wouldn't have to deal with the mess of harvesting them, Jason said. And because I know how much this means.
I know you would.
But I own a quarter of the estate, so whatever affects the estate needs to have unanimous consent. Luke felt the muscles at the base of his skull contract.
What does Walter need to feel comfortable saying yes?
Luke asked, because he had known Jason for most of his life. They'd played hockey together in high school. Jason knew that Luke's word was good, just like Luke knew that Jason had tried his best. But Luke didn't know a lot about Jason's brother, Walter. Other than he was a decade older, had moved to Chicago the day he graduated high school, and hadn't been back, not even for their dad's funeral.
I don't know. I could ask him, but Walter is a tough sell, Jason said.
He thinks that if we sell you the apples and you decide to pass on the property, then we've sold off the estate's most valuable asset. Walter might be a prick, but he wasn't stupid. If the roles were reversed, Luke would be worried about the same thing. But the roles weren't reversed, and if he couldn't figure this out, he'd be in a bad way.
I am going to buy the property, Luke assured him. I just need more time to come up with a down payment.
But did Walt think what will happen if I don't? The harvest will be ending, and you guys will have zero time to pick and sell the apples.
Don't remind me.
Jason took a deep breath and ran a hand down his face because he knew what Luke knew. Harvesting that many acres was a full-time job, and every one of Old Man Stark's kids already had jobs, none of them here in Destiny Bay.
Walter says he already has another buyer lined up.
He's hoping you pass. At his statement, a 48,000-pound weight settled on Luke's chest.
What are they offering?
A $500,000 more, all cash, and a 5-day escrow, Jason said, and Luke had a hard time breathing. I guess the buyer is ready to close the deal the second your option runs out. Luke gripped his forehead, hoping to relieve some of the growing pressure.
I need to talk to Walter, see if there is any way to sway him.
The only thing that will sway my brother is money. That's what Luke was afraid of.
Want to go see a Blackhawks game with me? Owner's box?
Luke asked, remembering one more thing about Walter. He was a die-hard hockey fan.
I didn't know the Blackhawks were coming to Vancouver.
They're not, Luke said, knowing he was going to owe Hawk big time.
We're going to Chicago to see Walt and catch a game. You in?
Hours later, and Luke was still reeling from the news of another buyer when he walked into the penalty box.
Ah, shit. I know that look,
Hawk said from behind the bar and cracked open a cold cider.
It's the same look you gave me right before you told me Bridget was screwing the pool guy.
Hawk had traded in his usual uniform of a black tee and dark jeans for slacks and a button-up, transforming himself from hockey bad boy and bar owner to VP of business development of one of the fastest-growing ciders on the market. Hawk hated slacks almost as much as he hated reliving his hockey days. That he'd done it tonight to impress Rogers showed just how invested in the business he was.
He was named the Sharks MVP last year, Luke pointed out quietly,
sliding behind the bar with a big smile so that everyone could see that things were going great. Just great. He lowered his voice even more.
And this isn't that look. They had sex in my pool, so he will forever be the fucking pool guy.
Hawk leaned in close, lowering his voice.
And that's the same look, man. Women like her suck you in. You don't see it coming, but one kiss and suddenly you're thinking with the wrong head, making shit decisions and everything falls to hell.
Kennedy isn't Bridget, Luke said, referring to Hawk's ex-wife.
I wasn't talking about Bridget.
And since his friend was as puckered as a baboon when it came to talking about his love life, he added,
In fact, we aren't talking about women at all, according to you.
Luke scanned the area, noticing that Rogers was chatting up a stacked brunette with a hockey puck tattooed on her cleavage. He lowered his voice.
It's nothing I can't handle. Thank God.
Hawk made a big deal over wiping the non-existent sweat off his brow.
Because from here, it looked like you bet everything on the wrong horse, then blew the backup plan to shit. Which, by the way, the backup was supposed to be the deal with Stark.
Stark isn't my backup. Just another possibility.
Luke reached in the fridge, bypassed the cider, and went straight for the Jack.
And nothing is blown. Just a little setback. We need to go meet with Jason's brother. Give him a little nudge in the right direction.
How much of a nudge are we talking?
Enough to show him we're serious about the property.
Hawk grabbed two tumblers and set them on the counter.
Or I know, what if I gave him enough for the down payment on the property? We close the deal by the end of the month. Problem solved.
Luke shook his head.
That isn't your problem to solve, man. We go 50-50. That was the deal from the beginning.
Because Luke would never again slacken on his responsibilities. Not when it came to family. And Hawk might not be related, but he was family.
Then let me loan you the money.
I don't need a loan.
And he didn't want his friend to bail him out.
I need this deal to close.
It wasn't like he was asking Hawk to front him the money for a few acres of woodlands. 50 prime acres of apples on Destiny Bay's bluff were going to cost a solid 7 figures. Heirlooms had skyrocketed since Luke originally sold the property. But as long as the demand for cider continued to increase, so would the value of mature, producing trees. Hawk poured 2 fingers in each glass and slid one to Luke.
And if you can't convince Walter?
I can convince him.
Luke took the glass and smiled.
One night hanging with the legendary bad boy of the ice, throwing back a few while watching some hockey, and he'll be ready to talk.
Hawk groaned.
So you won't use my money, but you'll use my fame?
Luke held up his glass.
Fine, but if the Sharks are playing and the pool boy steps out on the ice, shit will go down.
No Sharks, Luke promised.
Oh, and can you get us in the owner's box? What happened to Bayview Orchards being our backup? Your way of showing Shopgirl that she wasn't the only game in town.
When Luke said not a word, Hawk laughed.
Wouldn't want a little thing like our business to get in the way of you getting laid.
Luke choked.
Who says I'm getting laid?
You just did.
Hawk shook his head with disgust.
Come on, man. Didn't they teach you in that fancy business school you went to that sleeping with the competition is a conflict of interest?
Hawk lifted a brow.
No? Then how about sleeping with a girl your mom already loves is the fast track to some pretty complicated shit?
We were both clear on how things stand,
Luke assured him. At least, he hoped they were. He'd been careful to keep all talk off business. Then he'd caught sight of her in his shirt, sans the bra, and asked her how things were going. He saw her confused look, which quickly morphed into the hope that he'd given up on running her out of town. And he had. Until Stark shut that possibility down, leaving only Kennedy and her apples.
Then why are we meeting with a guy who you know is going to bend us over on the prices of apples? Because he knows he can on the price of the property.
Luke took a swig and let the scotch burn all the way down.
I like having options.
So this is just about options, and not admitting you have a problem?
He asked.
No problem, Luke said,
wondering who he was trying to convince, since neither one of them believed a word he was spewing.
I've got this handled.
Luke knew how to separate his personal life from his professional one, understood what was on the line for everyone involved. He'd been doing it for the past decade. But asking Kennedy for her apples now
after he knew what Sweetie Pies meant to her, felt like a dick move. Leaving Hawk hanging to dry after all that he'd put into this company felt even worse. God, this was a mess.
Good, Hawk said, grabbing his tumbler and tipping back. Because shop girl just walked in here in a pair of thigh highs and enough cleavage to be a problem.
Luke turned around and nearly choked on his shot. Problem wasn't the word he'd use when talking about those boots, or that woman. Kennedy was dressed to be seen, and every man in the bar was looking, including him. He couldn't stop. She had on these ridiculous leather boots, black and high, and a slinky blue top that matched her eyes and slipped off one shoulder, exposing skin that he knew to be softer than silk. And that skirt, don't even get him started. It was black, fitted, and made her khaki one look like a habit. She glanced around, worrying that lower lip and giving herself away. She was nervous and felt out of place, he could tell. But she'd come anyway. She'd come for him. Her eyes locked on his, and with a sweet smile that nearly knocked him off his stool, she made her way through the crowd, not stopping until she was by his side.
Sorry I'm late, she said.
Lauren had a study group, and I got an order from Destiny Bay Presbyterian Church for a dozen humdingers, and she shrugged.
I'm here.
She was. And suddenly, he didn't see a single problem. How could he, when she was smiling up at him like that? Big blue eyes all wide and nervous, and that smile. Man, that smile was contagious.
Hey, Hawk, she said.
Good turnout. People love the new cider.
Make sure you grab a few bottles to go. It might be a limited run.
Hawk lifted a single brow in Luke's direction, then headed to the end of the bar.
I'll be back.
Why do I feel like we were just warned?
He's just being moody, Luke said, leaning closer. You look amazing.
His lips brushed her hair.
And smell incredible, like Christmas morning and slow kisses.
I took a quick shower before I came. She lowered her voice. And used pumpkin spice scented body wash. Luke groaned at that image.
How is the party going? She asked.
Better now, he said.
And Kennedy licked her lips, smoothing her hands down her waist and thighs. Luke's gaze locked on the target, taking his time to absorb every inch of her. She didn't seem to mind because she was doing a little perusing of her own. Maybe she was thinking back to last night, too, or this morning. When the challenge was gone, Luke usually lost interest. He'd never made much of a habit of seeing where things led with women. With this woman, Luke not only knew exactly how it would turn out, a disaster of epic proportions, but couldn't seem to walk away. Getting his hands and his mouth on her had been a mistake. A mistake he wanted to make over and over until they both passed out from the pleasure. She cocked her head, and a frown marred her face. Before he could ask what she was up to, she went up on her toes and checked his arms, his neck, behind his ears. Her soft fingers traced as she examined.
What are you doing?
He asked. Not that he minded her hands on him. He just had some other, more creative places she could put them to use. Checking for marks? She laughed. You had vegetables last night, so I wanted to make sure you didn't have a reaction.
Ha ha. Any more touching and I will have a reaction right here that wouldn't be conducive to working the room.
He lowered his voice.
And I do have marks, but we'd have to go in the back office for me to show you.
Two high spots of color dusted her cheeks. Which wouldn't be conducive to you working the room. Well, maybe this will help. She reached into her purse, and Luke's head spun with all the possibilities. Last time she'd given him a key, then the best sex of his life. Maybe tonight she'd give him her panties, or maybe it was one of those IOU sex cards. She handed him a small to-go box.
Pie?
It's a mini pie. I figured you'd be nervous about tonight. Luke found himself laughing.
Do you think pie fixes everything?
Of course not. Cake and strudel work just as well. And tarts are my personal favorite, but I only had pumpkin and I didn't want to push my luck. She handed him the box. No veggies, I promise. It's my everything's better with chocolate cream pie. That it was sans apples meant she'd made it especially for him. On a day that he knew was already crammed full of responsibility, Kennedy had taken the time to bake him something special.
Thank you.
I used to make it for my grandma whenever she pulled a double shift or had a hard day. A little sweet to get her through the night. And I know tonight is big for you. She was smiling when she said it, but her gaze was filled with a seriousness that forced Luke to clear his throat before he spoke.
What's the other pie for?
She looked into her purse and pulled out a second bag. These are cookies for Allie. She had a big day with a client, too. So I am bringing her double chocolate chunk cookies. Her favorite. Nothing says celebration quite like chocolate. Before Luke could respond, Hawk was back, all frustrated and pissy.
Can you get security to throw Allie out?
Hawk asked. Luke scanned the room until he found Allie, leaning against the pool table with a stick in her hand.
Your security.
He reminded the guy, who was 6'5", 220, and known on the ice as the Bone Crusher. Hawk crossed his arms.
Yeah, well, she's fleecing Rogers and tends to do the exact opposite of everything I say, so I'm probably not the best solution.
Luke sent Hawk a smart-ass smug look.
Is Allie too big of a problem for you?
Yes,
Hawk said, dead serious. Luke wasn't one to talk, because Kennedy touched his arm and something stirred within him. She was a problem, all right, but she was the most appealing problem he'd had in years. Sweet, smart, and a breath of fresh air. I'll go distract her with cookies. He wanted to say he wanted his cookies, too, but Hawk was watching him closely, and Luke didn't want to waste more of the night convincing the guy that he had this under control. Because when it came to Kennedy, control was impossible.
Oh, we're not fucked at all, are we, bro?
Hawk deadpanned, then rolled his eyes like a girl. Luke poured himself another scotch. He should be drinking cider. Then again, there was a lot he should be doing as of late.
Hey, Cosmo,
Hawk said as someone slid onto the stool next to Luke.
Glad you could make it. And miss the chance to taste your new line?
Cosmo said, setting his hat, then a bouquet of flowers on the bar.
Been telling customers for months about your cider. Had to try it for myself to see if it was as good as you say. You won't be disappointed.
Hawk grabbed a frosted mug out of the freezer and poured Cosmo a glass of their reserve.
What's with the daisies? Are you here to meet a lady, Cosmo?
Got my eyes on someone,
Cosmo said with a sheepish grin.
But you know what they say. Patience and persistence are the keys to happiness.
Hawk laughed.
In here I thought it was hot women and good cider. This is about a woman,
Cosmo said.
After all these years, I am finally going to get my hands on Fiona's pies.
Luke choked.
Aunt Fee is selling you her pies?
This was news. Fiona would rather walk into a burning building coated with gasoline than see her pies in a retail shop.
Well, not Fiona, but the new owner, Miss Sinclair.
Luke felt the statement hit, his lungs struggling to work through the confusion.
You made a deal with Kennedy?
Yup.
Cosmo took a long drink, even smacking his lips when he was done. One yup, and Hawk looked ready to punch a wall. Or Luke.
When did this happen?
Last week,
he said, and a strange knot formed in Luke's chest, which was all kinds of ridiculous. So what if he'd opened up about how important tonight was, and Kennedy had had this incredible offer on the table and she didn't share? So what? It wasn't like they were dating, or that this deal could ruin everything for him. Jesus, it could ruin everything. Every fucking thing that Luke and Hawk had planned, and she didn't bother to mention it. To be fair, they didn't talk business. Sure, he'd told her a few stories about his dad and the party, but it wasn't as if he got down on one knee.
Miss Sinclair and I are talking about licensing the rights to sell her gold tin humdingers in all of my stores.
Cosmo raised his glass.
I have high hopes for this one, boys. These pies deserve to be recognized. Oh, they deserve to be in stores everywhere.
Hawk was sending Luke all kinds of glares, including, what the fuck, bro? And, did you hear that? To which Luke responded,
I'm not deaf.
And,
let me handle this.
And like everyone else in Luke's family, Hawk didn't listen to a damn thing.
Well, it isn't the real gold tin winner, though, Hawk said. I mean, Fee hasn't been baking for weeks now, has she, Luke? Don't know. I haven't been keeping tabs on my aunt. I know she cooked the pie I had the other day.
Cosmo's grimace said the meeting hadn't gone well.
Well, that's good then, since Kennedy isn't Fee,
Hawk added.
The girl seems to be doing well,
Cosmo said. His tone cleared that he was defending Kennedy, which had Luke wondering who the older man felt he needed to defend her from.
Can't keep pies on the shelf.
Hawk grimaced.
That sounds more like a supply and demand issue to me. If I ran out of inventory, I'd be out of business in a week.
Pausing, as if to consider Hawk's words, Cosmo set his glass down.
I guess I never thought of it that way. She and I were talking about a long-term deal.
He looked at Luke, who was shooting Hawk every what-the-fuck look known to man, and a few he made up on the spot.
What do you think, son?
Luke knew what the deal could mean to Kennedy, to two bad apples, and to his family. Hawk knew it as well, which was why he was returning Luke's what-the-fuck look with a this-isn't-a-problem-remember glare. Luke didn't need the reminder. He remembered all right. Remembered the smile on Kennedy's face when he finally admitted that freaky red vegetable pie was perfect. The way she felt wrapped around him like a blanket when they'd slept. He also remembered the look on his mom's face when she lost the house, and knew that the next 2 seconds would decide if the only possibility he'd have left to make his dreams come true was in Chicago, sitting in his McMansion, smoking a cigar, and counting all his coins.
Kennedy is an amazing baker, but she isn't a gold tin winner,
Luke heard himself saying over his pounding heart, which was beating a hard rhythm of guilt and shame.
Hawk's right. You might want to talk with legal before you claim that on the boxes. Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Neither had Luke, until Kennedy brought it up last night in a private and vulnerable moment. And now it was out there, floating around in everyone's head, while Luke stood there holding a piece of chocolate pie that was supposed to make everything better. Chapter 14. Once the rush for the Monday morning pickups and the breakfast crowd had passed, Kennedy lined her staff up in the prep area of the kitchen. After she'd decided to sign Cosmo's agreement, she'd spent the rest of the weekend and all morning focusing on her new line of pies. It was a better use of her time than thinking about Luke in her bed. And why he hadn't been back since. She'd been hesitant to go to his party Saturday night, afraid that taking it public would be like telling her heart it was okay to open up. At the last minute, she'd convinced herself that he wanted her there, something he'd made clear when she'd walked in, and he'd looked at her as if he wanted to pull her into a dark corner and pick up where they'd left off that morning. Then something shifted. There was no one thing she could point to, except to say he was the perfect gentleman. He catered to her every need, introduced her to his friends, even gave her a sweet kiss when he'd walked her to her car and explained that he had to take a last-minute trip to Chicago to talk to a potential client and he would be back Monday at the latest. She wasn't surprised that he'd jump on a plane to go see a client. Luke took his responsibility to the company and his client seriously. It was why Callahan Orchards had been so successful over the past few years. She was surprised that she'd missed him so much. And that could become a problem.
"The apple and cranberry pie is delicious," Paula said, going in for her third bite.
The tartness of the cranberries makes the apples even sweeter. What kind of apple is this?"
"Honeycrisp," Kennedy said, unable to hide her pleasure in impressing the most impressive baker she'd ever met. "I used Callahan Honeycrisp apples, locally grown cranberries, and this amazing lemon honey that a chef I know back home makes." Saying home, when referring to Atlanta, felt oddly wrong. Kennedy remembered what Edna had told her when she'd stayed with her that first summer.
"Home is where the heart is, child. And your heart knows where it belongs. Even when it's hurting something painful, it knows."
At the time, Kennedy hadn't understood, because her heart was too afraid to hope. Every time she thought she'd found home, it had been taken from her. But here, in Destiny Bay, the reality of finding home